it was interesting. We had quite a lot of overlap. This is, I find it's really interesting, but I might have to change some things as I go on. So I'm interested in drawing because I'm a drawer. I have always drawn. And because of that, partly I'm a bit sort of a partial to drawing. I think there is something specific to drawing and painting. But I try not to go into that now. And so I'm talking from a drawer's point of view. And when I talk about an artist, I actually mean anybody who draws here. So I'm not making that distinction here. And this is a question that most people who pick up drawing or painting come across at some point. Not everybody, but most of those who draw as a practice. What is my artistic style? How do I develop a style? Do I have an artistic style? There's a difference in between what is and do I have, and that makes a huge difference when you're drawing. Oh, can I get that?
I don't think you can. No. I think it just comes up.
No.
Anyway, it goes away.
Yeah, so we have to leave with that. Okay.
Style.
So it's an often the idea of having a personal, unique artistic style is often a goal. You try to find it desperately sometimes, and it's highly sought after. You can't. There's a sort of an idea that you have to have a style. That's a popular idea. And it's interesting, when you Google finding your own style art, you've got 1.77 billion hits. And there are like countless courses, videos, blogs on this matter. So it kind of shows how central it is to find your style. But I think, and some artists and teachers think that it might be a bit overstressed that there is a sort of a myth or lore of the art, having an artistic style. And people come kind of obsessed with it. You have to have it to be able to draw. And it's so it can actually hinder your drawing and hinder your creativity. And it can cause strain on your feelings about yourself if you don't find your style. And there is a kind of, I don't know, now I'm thinking that fear is might be a bit too strong. Anxiety might be a better, but there is an anxiety about finding your style, going after it. The fear of not being original. This is one of the most talked about things when I read what people write on social media or what people think. Do I have something that is not me? And it's linked to the idea of authentic, which I think you might mention later on. And especially the idea of that I'm just copying people, which I think is interesting because at some point, I used to teach in elementary school, at some point kids are really keen on copying stuff. Who is the best drawer to copy, like maybe some manga or anime or Pokemon characters or whatever. They're really obsessed with that. And then at some point it turns. I shouldn't copy anything. I should be original. So that's interesting. Flip. And then again, it's and everybody, if you're drawing and you show your drawings to your aunt will. One thing they will say that you have a really nice style, or you have very original style, or something like that. Everybody knows how to comment on style. And so, but then again, it's really hard to be good at copying. There are only very few master forgerers, so it's not a thing. So, quest for a style is a quest for an identity and as an artist. But it's also, I think, an exploration on self. But people don't actively think about it like that. They are looking for the style, but they're actually thinking about who am I. And it's also linked to a quest for your being in the world. How do I fit into this role as a drawer, as an artist, and in this set of people who draw and look at drawings? How do I fit in? Who am I as an artist or art maker? How do I express myself? What are my likes and dislikes? Do I like my style? That's a really harsh question to ask. Do I like my style? Is it me? All these, those things. And it leads to questions of what are my preferred mediums? Do I like painting or drawing? Tools, colors, themes, everything. And belief to that. So it's basically when you start to think about your style and having a body of work, you are starting to think about yourself. And that's the hidden there. What it says on the top of the screen is art is your relationship with yourself. This is from Jill Badonsky, who is an American a creativity coach. She's been doing her work for decades now. She is an artist. She has background in mental health and therapy. And she has written some books. And she says, points out that you have this tangible evidence of who you are staring back at you when you're looking at your work and thinking about your style. This is from a blog interview with another artist about having a style. And this is one of my key points. When you're looking at your drawings and contemplating them and your style, you are actually contemplating yourself. And you have real evidence. But it's you can make observations of yourself and you're kind of engaged in metacognitive thinking, even if you're not necessarily that aware about it. But for it to be possible to really think about your style, you have to be willing to be vulnerable. You have to put yourself out there and you have to be willing to meet your demons or your pain and your dislikes and what you don't like yourself. But it leads into looking for style leads into this kind of a feedback loop. You start to think about your style, you explore, you experiment, you look into other people's style, and you take chances. For example, you copy somebody and you try to figure out how that style is achieved. And you have some success, you see progress, you gain confidence. And when you gain confidence in your skill, you become more courageous, you get courage. And you can go beyond your comfort zone and try something else. You can explore more radical changes or new tools or whatever. And then the cycle starts again. So if we have that tangible evidence, so the more we, Jill also says that the more we learn about ourselves, the more our style changes. So if you look back at your style, you can basically link certain periods in your life into a change in style. The other person in this video is Danny Gregory, an artist who runs this sketchbook school online, a huge community of people around the globe, and different artists. And they basically give you lessons on all kinds of artistic things. And he says that he noticed when his wife died accidentally and it was quite a tragedy. He started to use really bold colors, like really bold colors, really bright colors. And afterwards, he thought that maybe this was because everything was so bleak. I wanted to have something extraordinary. and I put on these really bright basic colors in my drawings. Who knows, but he sees a period that is linked to his what he's feeling inside him. And he says that, I think the quality of your line is like a seismograph, or even like a cardiogram. It is reflecting your inner state. So he says that I like this idea that you are drawing, you're looking at something, even if you're just copying something, you're looking at it. And you, no matter how hard you try to copy it, you are always sort of like filtering it through yourself. And you leave some sort of a personal mark in your line. So you can find your style in copying. You can try out things and see how it transforms the lines that you are copying. So you can't escape your effect in your style. And that's the other reason why the forgery is so hard. Because you are not that artist. So you could say that when you're drawing, you always leave your flair in the line and in the work. So it's common to say that art is conversation. There's nothing new about it, but it's worth exploring. Alvar Noe brings this up in his book, Strange Tools. And I like the idea how he frames conversation there, that conversation is a domain for exquisitely refined cognitive attunement to self and other. For some reason I like this. I've not yet figured it out, but there's something there. But I like the attunement. So because attunement, whether you're doing it purposefully in a conversation with another person or in a drawing or whatever, you have it's achieved, actively achieved in a way. Part of it is subconscious, but there's a really important active part to it. It comes through participation, engagement, awareness, attention. You are open to the other part of the conversation and the situation and everything. So if it works, then again, conversations can always fail. He says that, Noah says also that art is an opportunity to catch ourselves in the act of achieving our conscious lives, of bringing the world in focus for perceptual and other forms of consciousness. And I think this might be what happened to, I forgot her name now.
Mary Milner.
Milner, yeah. She caught herself in some sort of a process of becoming. So we can, when we look for a style or contemplate our style, we can observe the conversations we have had with ourselves when we drew what we have drawn long time ago or over a period of time. So there's always the element of time and practice that is carried out, and there's been a mark left from that practice. And then there are, of course, when you draw stuff, you form a personal relationship to that stuff, whatever it is. So a lot of artists and drawers talk about how they remember things that they have drawn. When they look through their sketchbooks, they remember the moment of drawing really vividly. They remember emotions, sensations, conversation, and all stuff, that kind of stuff. So the passing of time is, and looking back, there's something there. And another concept that I like is the notion of weaving. It comes from Tim Ingold, a British anthropologist, who has argued that life should be thought of and described more as a meshwork, not as a network or a linear process, but a meshwork where things come close to each other and weave into each other. Kind of all the fates, weaving the fates of men into a fabric of life. So, and Ingol also says that being alive is an act of weaving oneself into that meshwork. So, and so I see drawing as one essentially. It's essentially an act of weaving, because you are sitting with something, spending time and turning into it, and observing things as they, well, you try to observe things as they are, and then you have to accept that you don't get catch them exactly like that. Again, that conversation. And we are also observing, when I'm drawing, I'm also somewhere in the back of my mind, I'm observing my being in the world. What is my relationship to these things? Sometimes that relationship reveals itself at that moment. Sometimes afterwards, I have a great example for you about a failed picture that is really important for me personally. It was a disaster. Now it's one of my most liked drawings. Still it's a disaster, but anyway. So there's that. And I was thinking that being alive, so you could say that being alive is being entangled with and within the world. But it's difficult to observe consciously your own entanglement. It's really hard to say how I am here right now. But when you draw and you create that body of work and you look back to it and you have that physical evidence, you can actually start to observe your own entanglement. And lots of drawers who have been drawing for a long time seem to do that. They talk about and write a lot, and you don't have to prompt them. They easily talk about, like, the memories they have and how it makes them feel and how they have grown because of their art. So, how much time do I have? Okay. I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
So, and Noe also talks about how art is an organized activity, how it organizes ourselves and our lives, and well, you get the point. But when you create art, when you're drawing, you're actually creating organization within your entanglement. You're first to draw. There's an interesting, can't remember where I got this now, but you're actually, to draw, you have to take things apart first. And then you put them back together as a picture. You have to analyze and select the parts that are necessary and whatever, and then you put it into together again. So there is an act of organizing things. Analyst and organization. And Noe also writes that to be alive is being organized. We are organisms. And life, life is in, it's the manner of self-making, world-creating. And these are two terms that artists often mention. World-making, world-creating. So, the organized effect, well, there's a typo there. The organizing effect of art is embedded in the activity. Or in the process or the practice, however you want to say. And it emerges when we engage with art and in making art. So it happens anyway. So, and drawing, sketching, our world creating conversation within the world. So we are putting ourselves, we are trying to figure out our being in the world, and we create a world where we live in while doing that. It's not necessarily conscious or intentional, but it could be. I think for her, for Milne, it started to become intentional. So, and I think that self is formed in this moment, into the contact with the world, as one weaves oneself into the meshwork. That's how we find ourselves or define ourselves. And I won't go into these, all this discussions about non-self and stuff, because I think they are linked into here somewhere. But anyway. And one style is linked to self-making and self-expression. There's meant to put something there. So, so as a conclusion, contemplating one's style is a conversation with yourself, and you can have that because of your drawing. Seeing oneself as one is, as you are observing your style, and you're accepting that I have this style, there are things that I can't do well or I don't like to do. For a long time I wanted to draw in the style of the clean line of Hergé and other comic artists, and it's not for me. It doesn't work. I just can't produce it for some reason. I can get close, but it's not natural. I don't feel good doing that. And it's a process of unfolding, of bringing our entanglement in focus. So over time, it becomes clear. It's not in the moment, but you have to trust the process, as the artists say. You have to go through the motions, and it will emerge, unfold. This isn't some equation that you need to solve. It's a journey, and it's a process. This is a Swedish artist, and I think this captures the whole idea. You shouldn't put too much stress and pressure in finding your style, but pay attention and it will come forth, but not necessarily always. I don't have a style as such, and I stressed about it for a long time. Then I spent a month in Aberdeen 2017, and I showed my Aberdeen sketchbook to an artist there. And he went through it and he said, oh, you have a really interesting style. It changes with the subject. And I thought, yeah, that's true. So all these pictures were made by me. And I realized that I actually choose a style and a tool according to the thing I'm about to draw so that it fits the sort of a feel and spirit and the character and the personality of the thing. I do prefer some things, like I don't like to draw with brushes, but not always. Sometimes it's just a pencil, sometimes there's watercolor, whatever. But even having a changing style can be a style. So there's a certain liberty to it. And I'm not an illustrator, so I don't have to stick to a style. Okay. But thank you.